You're with SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader. And now you talk about ridiculous things to do on a planet. Joel Runyon is doing the 777 Project. Let's find out a little bit more with it. Joel, thanks very much for joining us. What is the 777 Project?
So I'm calling it the 777 Project and philanthropy project to run 7 ultramarathons on 7 continents and use the project to raise funds and awareness to help build 7 schools with Pencils of Promise, which is a nonprofit organization that builds schools for underprivileged kids in the world.
How much have you done so far? 7 marathons, obviously very difficult to say the least, but where have you done these marathons?
So far I've done 3 ultra marathons. I've done North America, South America, and I did Australia over the New Year. And in 24 to 48 hours, or just a little bit here, I'm going to be doing race number 4 in Antarctica.
Yeah, what the important thing there is they're not just normal marathons. It's not like a little 42-kilometer run, is it?
No, they're all ultra marathons. So ultra marathons are anything farther than a normal marathon. So anything farther than 42 kilometers. I think the shortest race that I'll be doing is a 50K. The longest one is the Antarctica one coming up. That's 100K. And then all sorts of distances in between. I did one in Australia. That was just a 12-hour race. You run a 2-kilometer path for 12 hours. And you see how many times you can run it. So it's all about pushing your limits, trying to see what you can do and how far you can push yourself.
Of all the things you could have chosen, why this?
So I got into ultra running a little bit a few years back, and I actually did one ultra a few years ago to raise money for Pencils of Promise, and we built a school, and I did a race in Chicago, and I run a site called Impossible, which is all about pushing your limits, challenging yourself, and doing something impossible. And after I did the ultra, the first ultra I ever did, I thought to myself, I'm never going to do that again. That was way too far. I'm done. But I kept bumping up, and I kept looking into other races and seeing there were these other adventures, other challenges where you kept going farther. And I'm not the fastest runner. I'm not the, you know, I wasn't a born runner. But the thing I love about ultra marathons is, one, you get to explore the world, you get to see the crazy stuff that you just normally wouldn't be able to see if you were trying to walk or hike it. And then two, it really does, ultras put you in a place where you go beyond what most normal people do. You start, the race starts, I like to say the race starts at after the first marathon. The first marathon's kind of warm up, and then that's, you know, when you're tired, when you're worn out, when you don't want to go anymore, that's when the real race begins. And that's the thing I love about ultras. It gets you to that place where you get to test yourself and you get to see what you're made of.
Are you doing it by yourself, or do you have a support crew or somebody that you run with all the time?
I'm doing a lot of this on my own. Some of the races I'll have one or two people show up. My girlfriend was at the race in Australia. The Antarctica race is it's an expedition kind of, so there will be support. It's a 10K loop. We're doing it 10 times. And then I'm running a race in South Africa, and I'm having a buddy join me with that one. But most of the running is on my own. There are other people at the races, but the ultras tend to be pretty small. And, you know, there's only, you know, 30 to 100 people in some of these races. So they're pretty small groups of people.
Talk us through the races you've done. You started in Patagonia, then you went to Chicago, Australia. You're doing it the long way around.
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily doing it from a logistical standpoint. I started it a couple years ago, and I did the Patagonia race, and I got hurt. You want to talk about, you know, the race starts at the end of the first marathon. I ran 26.2 miles in, or 26-27 miles in Patagonia, and then I rolled my ankle and ended up tearing my peroneal tendon in Patagonia. I didn't know I messed it up that bad, and I ran, walked, hobbled the next 17 miles in Patagonia. And then had to do 6 months of rehab after that. And so then I took a big pause and basically relaunched it with Chicago back, which is my hometown, back in October. Did Australia, now doing Antarctica, and then knocking out the rest of the races and finishing in South Africa in April.
Just knock them out. One's in Thailand, one's in Finland, and then you come back for possibly the most beautiful, the Two Oceans Marathon. Have you run that before, by the way?
No, I've done Comrades. So I was in Comrades two and a half years ago, whatever that was. But I've heard great things about Two Oceans, so I'm gonna. I wanted to get in on that race, and then if I'm still feeling good and I want to hang out in South Africa a little bit longer, I might see if I can sneak into Comrades still.
But how does it work when you run? You mentioned in Australia, you're just running 2 kilometers. How do you overcome boredom?
That was the so usually you're looking at new stuff, and so with a lot of the races, the cool part is you're going out into backcountry, you're going to see new areas, you kind of hike yourself out in the wilderness, and then you have to get back home, otherwise no one's coming to get you. With the 2K one, the one in Australia, was the toughest one because you just go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And that was from New Year's Eve, 12 hours, to New Year's Day. And so I tried to celebrate New Year's Eve a little bit. We popped champagne when I came back through the campsite. But that one was the toughest one, where it was just – that was a mind game where – I saw the same tree, I want to say 15 times or something like that. And you know, usually you can entertain yourself. I do like counting games. I talk to myself. You know, you look at the scenery. But after a while, this one in Australia was just back and forth in the pitch dark, and you just kind of suck it up and just keep moving along.
Let's go back a little bit. You were laid off. You from UPS. How did you get from being a laid off worker to this thing now where you're raising hundreds of thousands of dollars?
So yeah, that's my story. From back in 2009, I graduated from college. Basically 2009 in the States was a bad time to graduate. Was unemployed for like 6-8 months. Got a part-time job at UPS for the holiday season, and then after Christmas, after New Year's, they just fired all the part-time people. And I was sitting in my basement wondering what to do with my life, wanting to do something challenging, and basically just had this limiting thing in my head where it said, you know, you can't even keep a job at UPS, what are you doing? And so after feeling bad for myself for a long time, I did this thing where I just wrote down all these things that I thought were impossible, and I tried to start out doing them. And I started off with an indoor triathlon, which was, you know, I think it was swim for 10 minutes, bike for 30 minutes, run for 20 minutes, and you like added up your mileage to see what your distance was. And I remember very specifically seeing or finishing that race and thinking about how much time I had wasted telling myself that was impossible. And then, you know, just then I just did the race. And so I look back at my list and I said, you know, what are the things on this list are you telling yourself are impossible? But if you train for it, if you just work for it, you could go do it. And so I kind of took that mindset, started applying it to my fitness, and started doing races. I started applying it to a job hunt where I got in at an entry-level position with a marketing firm, and just basically used the opportunity to learn directly from the owner and work as hard as I could. I worked my way up to the marketing director within a year and a half, went to another firm, worked with Fortune 500 companies, and then eventually 6 months after that, 2.5 years after I kind of started this, I quit my job. I started my own consulting business. I've built a couple different online companies. One is Impossible, which is what I'm doing all the races through. And yeah, I've just kind of, you know, taken this idea that you know, there's all these things out there in the world that I wanted to do, and I told myself for a long, long time they were impossible. And then I decided I just wasn't going to tell myself that anymore, and I was going to go at least, you know, see if I could do them. And this is where I'm at now.
Is that obviously that same mindset translates itself when you're running? It's even when you're running, I imagine you feel it's impossible, but then you've got to force your way through, like you said earlier.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of why I relate to ultra running. I don't do a lot of marathons actually. I find they're doable, and it's not the game that I'm interested in. The ultra deal is there's always a point where you're going to be hurting or you're tired or you're worn out and you don't want to go any further. And that's kind of when you get to test your mettle, which you get to see what's inside you, and that's the fun stuff. That's what I continually like to find in myself, because it's reminders not just only when I'm running, but when I come up to tough things in my business, in my life, in anything. Your mind always wants to quit before your body always wants to quit before your mind will let it. And so if you can build a stronger mind, build a better mindset, you can kind of override what your body wants to do and just keep pushing, because you've got more in you than most of us know.
Tell us about Pencils of Promise, the reason you're doing all of this.
Yes, so Pencils of Promise is a nonprofit organization out of New York. They build schools around the world, they build schools around the world, and they help build sustainable educational opportunities for kids in Laos, Ghana, and Guatemala. They've been doing this for, I want to say, 5-6 years, something like that. They've built over 300 schools, and they train up the teachers from within the community, and they get community buy-in. So it's not just a bunch of people going to build schools. They've got a nice, pretty building, and they leave. They actually build the training, raise up leaders from within the community, and they give kids a opportunity to learn in actual schools. You should see these schools that exist before Pencils of Promise comes in. A lot of times they're outside, they're like flooding during the day. They don't have drainage systems, they don't have sewage systems, anything like that. And so Pencils of Promise kind of comes in, takes away all these other distractions that normally we don't even think of, but something as simple as the roof is made of tin, and when it rains in rainy season for 6 months out of the year, the kids can't hear their teacher because it's raining so loud that they can't actually hear the lesson. And so Pencils of Promise comes in, helps the community, uses the funds that we're raising towards the builds, and really gives kids an opportunity to do something. I'm lucky. I get the chance to push my limits, do really crazy, stupid, hard stuff, and see what I'm made of. But for a lot of people, something like education is impossible. Simple, basic education, learning to read, learning math, getting into that middle school, high school level of education is impossible. And so that's kind of one of the core tenets of what we talk about at Impossible is, once you push your limits and you find out what you're made of and you're able to see that you're capable of more, you also want to give back and you want to help others do the same. And so that's why we're working with
It's your next run, as you said, down in Antarctica. I'm just having a look at the weather here. Minus 11 centigrade, minus 21 centigrade. The warmest is currently 4 degrees centigrade. So how do you get ready?
So I just did a video of my packing list, and I bought a whole bunch of polar gear. But I don't know if there is a way to, quote-unquote, get ready. I am prepared. My legs are strong. I feel good. But how do you prepare to run in Antarctic weather? Even if it's the 10 per wind, how do you know what to expect? So I've talked to a couple of guys who have done it in the past, and I think that's one of the ways you get prepared is by doing it. And so I've got a whole, they don't let you go onto the continent without a set gear list. And so I'm renting some specific polar equipment for when we're walking around, but I'm not going to be wearing that while I'm running. So I'm lucky that we have an expedition going. It's through the Ice Marathon by Richard Donovan. He's been doing this for like 10 years, and it's a pretty good operation, and they're going to take care of us. The camp we're going to is a pretty awesome camp. They do all sorts of expeditions across Antarctica, so it's not we're just we're not just getting dropped on the ice and running, but we're just 600 miles outside the South Pole. Oh. So we're pretty far deep into the continent. We're flying in, and it's going to be a heck of an adventure and a race.